Old Testament reading this morning is Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 6, the righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, or will be any missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. And the New Testament reading is Luke chapter 22, verses 33 to 44. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked him, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now you have a purse, take it and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, for he is numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That's enough, he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not by my will, but yours. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Amen.
When I go to a new church, I always look to see if there's a clock, and I finally seen your clock at the back. But I love a story my father told me many years ago. He said it was about a minister or a church, and his son, the father said to his son, who was about five, son, I'm taking you to church today and I want you to sit down through the service. So the son sat down beside the dad, and being the inquisitive five-year-old had nothing but questions. Dad, why does this happen? Dad, why is that man bringing a plate to the front? Dad, why do we sing that song? So come to this point in the service, and the minister took his watch off and put it down. And the son says to Dad, Dad, what does that mean? And he says, son, from experience, that means nothing. So I have set the scene. Thank you to Ian for those readings. Part of the reading that I wanted you to have this morning is just those verses about, you know, Peter and his difficulty following Jesus. But then Jesus reminded him, he says, you know, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, he answered. So what we do for the Lord, and we think about this in Home Mission Sunday, the Lord is already there before us. We often have to, we forget, we have to invite him to be part of it, but he is there with it. And we've seen that the anguish that Christ himself went through, because the last verse says that the blood, the sweat was like blood. But I just want to share a couple of more verses for you from the next chapter as well. And this is the part where Jesus is on the cross. And it says this, when they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucifying him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lot. People watched, stood and watched, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. And it goes on to say, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're already under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. We sung the song, Meekness and Majesty. Those different concepts, those different images of Christ. So meek and yet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The passage I just read this morning is one perhaps that might think it's not quite right for Christ the King Sunday. But I think it is. You see, because Christ came to be a different kind of king, meekness and majesty, not the king that most people thought of. Just want to read you a few verses from a poem. Unfortunately, the author is unknown. And the poem title is They Missed Him. They were looking for a lion. He came as a lamb and they missed him. They were looking for a warrior. He came as a peacemaker and they missed him. They were looking for a king. He came as a servant and they missed him. They were looking for liberation from Rome. He submitted to the Roman stake and they missed him. They were looking for a fit to their mold. He was the mold maker and they missed him. So throughout his ministry, Jesus was teaching a new way of being human. In line with God's teaching. But people saw Christ through their own eyes and they missed him. As the poem says, they wanted a warrior king and yet they got a peacemaker. They wanted a lion, they got a lamb. It didn't fit. He came as a suffering king, as we heard when the sweat was like drops of blood, and many missed him. The story of this criminal putting his faith in Jesus is unique to Luke. He asks us to remember him when he comes to his kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom is very unusual. Jesus the king wears two very different crowns. The royal crown of kings and the suffering crown of thorns. Yet again, even on the cross, Jesus answers the criminal's request with remarkable compassion and hope. And showed us that death is not the end. And that's why I think that this text is appropriate for what we call Christ the King Sunday. And the lesson that Ian read to us from Jeremiah, the kingdom of God is described in terms of justice and righteousness. The kingdom is described as something different than usual, something different than the world is used to. And if we go to the prophet Isaiah, he reminds us that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me, he has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners. And all that we've seen in those clips in the home mission videos as well, that's what those people's calling is as well. Because they feel anointed to use their gifts and talents in a special way. We are all different. The kingdom of God, which broke into the world through Christ, brought a different order to the world. The broken, the hungry, the poor were now all of a sudden important. They were released from their guilt and burden. They were to be treated like everyone else. They were to be blessed to live with justice and righteousness all their days, not just for those who are well off. This radical kingdom that God brought to earth by Christ is now carried on through his body, the church, you and I. And again, you hear today in the appeals the opportunities that we have to be part of that body and bless people we will never know. A second century lawyer, a Roman, who was described as a true Christian, said what brought him to faith was that the people, the Christians that he met, loved people before he got to know them personally. It was how they lived their lives. And our call is to bring righteousness and justice into this world because we are blessed that Christ lives within us and we are the body of Christ, the church. And yes, it's easy for me to stand here today and say, what does we have to bring righteousness and justice into the world, but what does that look like? Well, we've heard it today. The appeals, feeding the hungry, giving heat to those who need it, visiting the lonely, contacting those who are in prison. Different ways of bringing the peace of Christ into the brokenness of this world. And those simple acts are just a way of bringing it in. But each act, if you multiply them up, then what does that say? We are the body of Christ. As we said in the first reading, the New Testament reading, when I asked you to do anything, did you lack provision? No, was the answer. And as a body of Christ, we have responsibility to worship, to praise, to bow, to bend our knee in honor and respect of the King of Kings. And worship is part of who we are. And you know something, in this part of the world, we are so privileged that we can meet here today without having any fear of persecution. Why worship? Why sing praises? Why follow the custom of an early church? Because we are commanded to do it. This is what we do. And this is what we do through the different offices and departments in the church. And home mission. I wish you could have been there to see those girls, the 200 girls, so enthralled and taking part and learning about Jesus at that GB service. A story's told of a sheep rancher in the remote part of Idaho in America. He found that his violin was out of tune. And no matter try as he could, he was unable to make the instrument sound and play the way it should. He was a frequent listener to a particular radio station in California. And he wrote to the station concerning his problem, asking that these good people at a certain hour and minute on a certain day to strike the right note for him. They did that. They stopped everything else, silencing all other sounds for a moment. They struck that note. In that shepherd's home in the distant mountains, the shepherd heard the sound, and from that single note, he put the instrument into tune again. And that's how God works. It only takes a single note for us to hear it and puts our lives together. This is a special time of worship and a special day in the church. Here we listen for that single tone that is unique to us, personal to us. And that tone is sounded not just at a particular hour on a particular day, but all the times. What better way to see the suffering nature of our King than to be part of his body and to end the suffering for others? It's a radical message that Jesus is bringing to us. And even today, 2,000 years later, it's even more radical because the world has become more and more self-centered. And here on the cross, we hear this conversation, a short one, with this convicted criminal who admits we're getting our just deserts here. We see yet again the kingdom in action. In the midst of his own suffering, the servant Christ brings good news. The gospel to the man in all its splendor and wonder. I would like to perhaps suggest three ideas I think that describe the action of the gospel in this man's life. To him, Jesus was declaring him not guilty as he repented of sin. Jesus was with him in suffering, so Jesus was also a victim. And finally, through Christ, they both received victory and eternal life. The other one on the cross rebuked Jesus. Do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Said the other one. And yes, we also have been condemned guilty of sin. But here on the cross, we see that that doesn't have to be the final outcome. This unnamed man knew he had done wrong. He was sorry. And because of repentance, he saw Christ for who he was. He was truly repentant. Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. He wanted to be part of that. And Jesus simply answered, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. And for any of us bleeding in the world who have our joys and sorrows as referred to, there is again the fulfillment of the promise of a heavenly kingdom. Yes, Jesus was relieving him of his guilt. Paul writes to the Romans, talking about the example of Abraham. He said, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. And that other criminal was one of those. You see, the reality is that the kingdom of God, if we think about it, does cause us to examine ourselves. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, then repentance does come. Jesus is there to declare the person not guilty if we truly repent. You see, that's not one example of Jesus just forgiving our sins. That is a daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second thing. He continues to forgive our sins. He continues to act mercifully, not just on the cross, but day by day. It's about the power of love. Jesus is that different kind of king. Think some of our worldly kings. Jesus doesn't operate on that level. Some kings, as we know, rule by force. They're able to be kings because they can beat people down. People live in fear. That's not how Jesus works. Just simply think of John 3:16, that well-known verse. I'm going to read it to you from a more modern interpretation. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one of a kind Son of God when introduced to him. You know, at times we can be guilty of using earthly power for our own goods in the church. When churches have done that, the reality is they have never achieved the goals that they set out to achieve because, as I said, God was not in it. So we've got the power of love, and then we've got this nobleness of forgiveness. You know, kings and other royalties have marched to the beat of a different drum. Sometimes you can say, well, they don't live the same lives we do. Sure, look at them. They live a privileged life. But that's not Jesus, because he came and lived an earthly life. And again, you see the nobleness of a king when Jesus utters those words in that short passage I read. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Again, he's preaching forgiveness. And exercising it as well. So on a day when we celebrate the work and the gifts of home mission and all that that involves, and we're only scratching the surface of home missions, go to the website. There's lots of videos there to watch. You have the opportunity through giving online or through envelopes that Brian mentioned. What is our Christian actions? What is Jesus calling us to do? What is our gifts that he wants us to use? Yes, some of us. I struggled for years. I worked in administration for 33 years, and I vowed that I would never work in administration in a church, and my CV in the church involves a lot of administration. But it's a gift that I have, and I can use, because I've got 30 years experience doing it. So I don't fight it anymore. I take the opportunities where they give. It's not exciting. I'm not on the front line, but I feel that I am serving the church in a way we can. But in Christ the King Sunday, we remember that Jesus was a different kind of king. And if he is our king and who we follow, then we too must be different as well. You heard, we do not lack. When I sent you out, did you lack anything? No. And then we heard the voice of victory and the fulfillment of the final promise. As Christ says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Yes, there is victory for us in Christ. But we have to be listening to that little tone, that little voice that could come in a text message, a note, a video, a sermon. So today we celebrate Christ the King, but we also celebrate those who work to keep Christ the King. Amen.